So there's, what the topic today is Eitzer Bezdin, which many of you have purchased Esrogim, and they say on the box something about Eitzer Bezdin. It'd be nice to know exactly what that is and what the story behind it is and how it's to work. Exactly, is it voodoo, not voodoo, etc. So just to flesh out the question, so there are many different areas of halacha and which Hilchos Shemitah applies to, and we're curious to know exactly this concept of Eitzer Bezdin. How many of them, how many areas does it impact, and how many areas does it not impact? So, for example, the first area of halacha of Shemitah is that there's limitations to what you're allowed to do in the field. You can't work the fields. Does Eitzer Bezdin, whatever the Eitzer Bezdin thing is, does that permit working in the field? Does not permit working in the field. The second thing is that you have to leave your field hefker. You have to leave your field open for people to come and to take. The payers are now are available for people to take. The payers are all hefker. What does Eitzer Bezdin do vis-a-vis that halacha being hefker or not being hefker? There is a prohibition of doing business with parish shvius. Does Eitzer Bezdin address that problem? Does it not address that problem? How does it address that problem? There's halacha of beer, that at a certain point in time, the parish have to be removed from your home. You cannot maintain them anymore. Even parish shvius, which you as an individual went into somebody's field, which was hefker, and took them, and you've been dealing with all the kedusha, all the halachas of kedusha shvius on the parish, and all of those halachas. At some point in time, you must be mavar them from your house. That's how we understand beer. It's like as we're showing them how beer works, but that's how we paskin. Beer means remove it from your house. What? We paskin beer. The Rambam says the Pharisee beer is can be done a chutz lard.
Why are you making a big deal about that story going back there?
Okay, it's a good question. Maybe I'll get to that. Maybe not. So does Eitzer Bezdin impact the dinim of beer or not impact the dinim of beer? There's kedusha on the peiris, which that means that you can't misuse the peiris, you can't be mafs of them, you can't eat them in certain ways, etc. Does Eitzer Bezdin affect that or not? You know, this Eitzer Bezdin exactly what is it and what are its limitations and what is its power, etc. So the source for the idea of Eitzer Bezdin is a Tosefta. We want to point out the Rambam, which for most part is the starting point for us for the halachos of Shemitah. We don't have Shulchan Aruch on Hilchos Shemitah. For the most part, we have Shulchan Aruch talks about the halachos of Shemitah's Ksofim, which Eitzer Bezdin doesn't help for Shemitah's Ksofim. That if you lend somebody money, the Eitzer Bezdin will not solve that problem. We have Prusbul, etc. So that is found in the Shulchan Aruch HaKadosh Mishpah, but the halachos of Shemitah are very minimally mentioned. The halachos of Shemitah is karkos, so the source is going to be from the Rambam. The Rambam does not bring down the concept of Eitzer Bezdin. The Rambam does not mention it. This Tosef does not quote by the Rambam. The Ravid, at best, hints to it, and the Ravid hints to this concept. But so the source is going to be this Tosef. And let's read the Tosefta inside. So once upon a time, originally, right? So all good stories start with the words once upon a time. So Brishana originally, so that first word already is challenging to us. What does Brishana mean? It means if there was a Brishana, there was an Achrona. So that means we can't do this anymore. Exactly. Whatever they're doing over here, why is it only Brishana? So that's quite a discussion amongst the Meforshim to figure that out. They would go to the entrance to the city and call me maybe Paris the Sech Yadoi. So people who went out to the fields correctly would take Paris from the fields correctly. The Paris are hefker, and they're bringing home their Paris. So they're minding their own business, and all of a sudden, the Shluchei Bezdin would take away the pears that the person had gathered, whether it was grain, whether it was whatever it was, it might have been. They would give back to the person. The person had taken a whole week's worth of food. They give him back three meals worth. And the rest they would take and place it in an oitzer, which was found in the city under the Rishus of Bezdin. Okay, so that's the first step. Now, the end of the whole thought, it's going to say that the Bezin would then give out, under its auspices, food to everybody every Erev Shabbos, based on these payers, and they would give it to each family according to what their needs were, the amount of people which were in the home, in the person's house. So this person had planned to gather a large amount for himself, and Bezin would not allow that. Bezin would actually take it away from him and stop him from doing that. So that's the first step that Bezin would do. Furthermore, he gives man to Einim when the time came to pick the figs. Shluchei Bezin, Sarkin, and Parlim, the Bezin would appoint agents to go and hire workers. And they would then gather them. They would pick them. They would make it. Usually, they would store figs in large pressed cakes of figs called the dvelim, and they would make the dvelas out of them. They put it into the containers. They bring it back to the oitzer again. The grapes are ready to be picked. They would harvest the grapes. They would press them. The gas and the wine press. They put them into barrels of wine. They would harvest them, they would press them in the Beis Abad, where they would, the olive press, they put them into containers, olive oil. They bring it to the oitzer. They give out each week to the members of the city. Each household would get according to their needs. So the challenge it's going to have over here in the Tosefta is there's a Mishnah in Shvius in Parakhes. Parakhes Tosefta is a Mishnah in Parakhes which says that you're not allowed, even Parakhes Shvius, which you're allowed to pick, they're half, you're allowed to pick them. But when you process them, you cannot process them in the normal way. You can't press the wine in the wine press. You can't press the olives in the olive press. And here it says that they were doing it in the olive press or the wine press, which would indicate possibly that this Tosefta is arguing on the Mishnah. We pass like the Mishnah over the Tosefta. Maybe that's why the Rambam does not quote this Tosefta, because the whole thing seems to be very strange. What exactly they're doing? Why would Bezdin be removed from this responsibility not to process the payers in the normal way? So that's the challenge which we have in the Tosefta. So we have one question: is why? What's the phrase "Berisharno," which means what has changed now? And more challenging is why are they allowed to do avoid over here in the normal way without doing a shinui when the Mishnah says you must do it with a shinui? That's probably the two biggest challenges over here. If you look at the Meforshim on the bottom, they actually give two suggestions for the word Berisharno. And the sefer on the left side, it says Arsur Kedushim Rishana. It says they quote from the Chassid David. Chassid David was a pirush on the Tosefta. He says that it's going like the opinion which holds Shvius is nowadays is the Rabbanah. Whereas once upon a time it was the Raisa. So Rishana is referring to when it was the Raisa. When it was the Raisa, we're very worried about people doing things properly. Bezin felt a need to get involved and do what they're doing over here. Nowadays it's the Rabbanah. The whole thing is the Rabbanah. The Bezin did not feel a need to get involved. Not that we don't have that means the Bezin could continue to work. They saw no need to get involved and do it to Bezin. Okay. The other shot that he brings over here and brings on the on the right column, suggests that the concern was that the people would not be mafker them properly, and they wouldn't deal with them in the proper locals of hefker. So therefore, they got involved. Once people were really getting involved and doing business with Parish Shvius, etc. The more talks about that idea that there was a problem of Misharov is Parish Shvius. People were doing business with Parish Shvius. That was a real problem. The message said, you know what? We're not being effective. We're not going to continue with this process, which is not effective. People were evading them, avoiding them, etc. So you know, we're not getting involved anymore. So again, that would indicate that this is something which could be done. Just the authority is still there. It just wasn't working. So why should we continue doing it? So those are two mafarshim we say over here. It comes along the Ramban in Chumash. The Ramban says the following. So the Ramban earlier is discussing what the word beer means. So the Torah says at some point in time, there's a halacha called beer, The more it talks about the pasuk's lashon, is not doesn't say the word beer, but the more so the Rambam understands the word beer like beer chometz. You destroy it. So what, when is man beer? Man beer means like this. The pasuk says that this that you may take peiros shvi is for yourself has a time limit. The time limit is as long as there are still peiros out in the fields. You may take pears for yourself and keep them and use them, etc. When everything runs out in the field, the Rambam says you must take whatever you have left over and destroy it. The Ramban disagrees. Rashi disagrees. And the Ramban says that all it means is you must remove it from your home. That you've taken possession of it and you may use it has a time limit. What's the time limit? When there's nothing left available for anybody else in the fields, it's all gone from the fields. You must take what you have out of your house, put outside of your house, and declare it hefker. It's not also to eat. You may afterwards take for yourself. You may, at that point in time, give to other people. Each person gets 3 meals worth. You could take, you have a little bit left over. So you send to your neighbor something, send the other neighbor something, and that's it. No, you may continue eating it. But more than 3 meals worth, you must put outside of your house and be mafkarit. That's the point of the Ramban. The point of disagreement between Rashi and the Ramban is, according to the Ramban, you have to be mafkarit for people. You don't have to put it in a place where animals can get to it. According to Rashi, you must put it in a place that even animals can get to it also. Okay. Now, l'madam mefura shein beer shviyas el levayer peiros mirshusar lefkirim. It doesn't mean to destroy them. He quotes it to Sefta. It means to put them out and make them available. So now, v'osulam tekonos midivrehim. The Chacham now came in and came along and made a tekona to address the issue of beer. They bezin would make a place to store all of the peiros. When people would bring them in, they would take them away, arter sefta, and put it into the oitzer. We come time to harvest. They would process it normally, not like the Mishnah says with the Shinui. But noitzin loitzin shalem, and they would put it into the oitzer. Once they're in the oitzer bezin, there's no need for beer. Now, why is that? So we ask the question, what does Oitzer Bezin address? So the first thing apparently is addressing is, the Raman says, it's addressing the requirement of beer. Something which is in the Oitzer does not require beer. Why is that? They're in nobody's possession. They're in the possession of Bezin. Now, once I take it from the Oitzer Bezin and I have it in my house, it's a different ballgame. But as long as it's sitting in the Oitzer, there's no halach of beer. So it comes as not a beer, Bezin may hold on to these pears indefinitely. And then they can give out as they see fit to each person, Muslim Gimel Sudas, which is allowed. Why is that? Shekar Mavurim Heman Abayis, because when they're under the Rishus of Bezdin, they're not in somebody's private possession. They are available for everybody in the city. Then Bezdin may then distribute it as they see fit. So the first thing Oitzer Bezdin accomplishes is there's no halacha of beer. Beer is when the person's taken private possession, he may not maintain it in his private possession. Bezdin is representing the city. It's not private possession, but they're representing the people of the city. So it's available for everybody in the city. That's not a problem. That's, as it were, the equivalent of being mavur. It's if you put it out and made it available. That's exactly what Bezin is doing. Okay. But if there is no Bezdin, so why did Bezdin get involved in this? So we're saying, well, Bezdin got involved in it, solved the problem of beer. Well, it also, the Bezdin got involved for this purpose. Bezin was afraid people will do business with it. So what the guy goes out to the field with this large amount, comes home, what's he going to do with it? He'll eat a little bit for himself and he'll do business with the remainder. There's an issue of doing business with payers of Shriyas. So Bezin would get involved and control all of the payers and give out just enough that people can use for their meals. So therefore there's no problem of people doing business with these items. Now he doesn't say that there's no issue of doing that. The Bezin has no issue. Bezin also has an issue of business. Bezin wasn't doing any business over here. Bezin was taking the items and distributing them. But we're afraid that you might do business with it, so we're going to take it away from you. You have this large amount, and what's the deal with this large amount? Here's 3 meals worth. Go home and eat it. You want more? Come tomorrow. We'll give you more. Right?
Is it 3 meals per day or per week?
Per day. I mean, they would give out Erev Shabbos. This is something that they would give a week's worth. Okay. So that would sound like when you go to Eretz Bezin, the purpose of Eretz Bezin was to control the flow of the payers, that there would not be concern. People start doing business with payer shvius. So it's clearly, we're assuming that there is kedusha shvius on these payers, and therefore the limitations of how you deal with the food, the dinim of you can't be mafsed, etc., would apply. You can't do business with it either. Okay, we'll make sure you're not doing any business with it. So then already, if that's the situation, you're mafker it, and once you're mafker, you may continue to eat it. You may continue to eat it. Not like the Rambam says that you must destroy it. Now, so if you take a look over here at this person on the R on the bottom. He raises the question, but what happened to the Isser? Like the Ramban says explicitly, they did it in the normal fashion, not like other years. What happened to the Mishnah? Said you can't do that. Mishnah says you may not process it in the normal way. You must process it with a shinui. So he suggests over here that the Ramban says before, the Ramban does say earlier, the Ramban himself says that's the Rabban, it's not a Daraisa. That luckily you must process it in a different, in an abnormal fashion, not the normal fashion. This didn't Rabbanon. It's based on a pasuk, but he says the Ramban looks at that pasuk is only an asmachta, and therefore it was kedai for Bezdin, and the reason why Bezdin said the reason why the Chachamim said you may not process it in the normal fashion, because that's all of it is the reminder that you may not act as the Bailam in the field. So the Bezdin is not the Bailam anyway. Like, what's the problem? The whole concern over here is that if I let you process it normally, so you're going to start saying, okay, I'm going to gather the pears for myself. I'm not going to let anybody else get it. I'm going to, I'm making this big wine press out of the thing, so I need a lot of grapes. So don't you near come? I'm going to close the field, etc. No, the field has to be after. When you make wine, if I go to a wine press, you need a certain amount of grapes. No. You take a few grapes for yourself and that's it. No wine press. You want to make some. You want to go home in your cup and squeeze some and make some wine. No, that's fine. No problem. That's irrelevant to Bezdin. So there's no reason why Bezdin would have that problem. So this might address some of the avoidus, not the avoidus hakarka of earlier in the year, but the avoidus of harvesting would be affected by Eretz Bezdin also. That's clear. So we raise the question: does Eretz Bezdin? So what does it address? It addresses the issue of beer. The Ramban says because while it's by Bezdin, there's no need for beer. It addresses the issue of. There is an issue of schara. The Chachamim are addressing the problem of schara by saying you're not going to do business with this. We're going to control the flow of the payers. But there is an issue of schara, but we're going to control it. It addresses, the Ramban says that the Tosefta says it addresses the limitations of how to harvest do not apply over here. Earlier Vedas Akarka of working in the field would apply as far as we know. Okay, so that's what we have from the Ramban. Comes the Chazon Ish. In the paragraph before, he says that he learns up in the Rambam Shita, that there isn't halacha, in exact, there isn't a limitation in the harvesting process. You can harvest in the normal fashion. What you can't do, what you have to do is not in the normal place. After I harvest, I bring it. I can't bring it to my normal threshing floor. But I take it somewhere else. But the process of harvesting itself, that there's no limitation. The Ramban disagrees with that. The Ramban holds the Rabbanah, but the Ramban okay. Now, in Oisvav, Mahor Tanya, but Tosefta, Vehuber Ramban, Varash, Perkes Mishneches, the Zman Sheish Eretz Bezdin, Darken Anovim Begasos, Eisim Bebas, Besabad. So they said that you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to process it in the wine press and the olive press, which the Chara of the Mishnah says not like that. Shemin and Dohod Etnan and Perakhes Mishnevav, Shein Darkin and Oven Begas, that you cannot press the wine in the wine press. Hano Dafka Bailin, that's only the owner of the field. Al Oizen Shazokim and a Hefker Mutarim Bechol. So that this limitation that you can't process it in the normal fashion of the wine press or the olive press is the owner of the field can't be continue to act like an owner. Well, if he's going to do it in the wine press or the olive press, he looks like an owner. If I walked into the field and I took it from Hefker, no problem. That's referring to the owners. Even though normally we have a limitation, you must do it little by little. Again, but we're saying over here, if it's not the owner, you can take it all by basachas. So that's how he suggests understands.
So then, wouldn't the owner be tempted to do business to obtain wine or olive oil because of if other people could make it in a wine press, whereas he couldn't, then he would be at a lack for something and then need to buy it.
Right. But okay. There's no issue of buying parashriya. No, the issue if but you can't sell in large quantities. You can't. So the person takes a small amount that he has left over, he's allowed to sell it. But the original person shouldn't be taking large quantities. Bezin is taking large quantities because Bezin really represents the whole city. So they're taking large quantities. They're really taking in the right quantities they're taking for everybody in the city. In the next paragraph, he says the same idea a little more at length if you want to take a look at it. But that's basically the idea. Okay, I'm skipping page 4 for now. Okay. And so this is from a Sefer of Mishnas Yosef. From Postik in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of his psukim have to deal with the agricultural halachas. He has a pirish on Masechta Shviyos, quite extensive pirish. And take a look on the left column at the bottom. So the owner of this orchard is being after his fields. See, he's got a problem. What's the problem? The problem is that peyre shvias are hefker. Trees are shvias, are not hefker. The hefker applies to the peyres. It applies that I must allow access to my field. The field is not hefker. The peyres are hefker. The field is not hefker. But I must allow access to my field to the peyres. The trees are not hefker. So a very significant question which comes up to this is that esrog trees are very delicate. And if you don't handle the esrogim properly when you take them off the field, you can damage the tree. So now, you're asking this poor owner of the esrog partis to mimafker all of his esrogim so that the people will walk in and take the esrogim and destroy his trees. That's not fair. He has no chiv. The person who does it is a mazik, owes him money for destroying his tree, right? But how are you going to control that? You open up the field totally, so people come and take all the stuff, do business with it, damage his plants. So what do you want from the fellow? So Bezin should take it over. Bezin takes it over and addresses both problems. On one hand, it protects the peiris, the trees of the field from being damaged. But the Bezin can't protect it for themselves. There's an issue of shimer. You have to make the field available. So Bezin says, listen, we are now the owners. We're in control. You may not come in. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So the Bezin is the shimer now. They also have a problem. So he says like this. Shane Bezin was showing the Hashiv Shemer Limnoya Knesses and Hashim Lito Mapri Bashira Mutter. But so what they could do is they can maintain some type of control to allow people in a proper way. But they cannot deny access to the area. So they're controlling access and thereby protecting it that everything is going to be available for people, but not in a way which is going to damage the fruits, and that way people are going to overtake. That is how he suggests the concept of Ursu Bezin. That's the purpose of Ursu Bezin. Okay. Then he says like this. What I could ask you to do is to cover the costs of running this Ursu Bezin. What they can stop the people from doing is taking too much. They can't stop them from taking the correct amount. They can stop them from taking too much. Okay. So,
pay Bezdin for watching?
What?
You pay the Bezdin for watching?
So now Bezdin needs to do this process. They have responsibility to protect the people of the owners of the fields. They're responsible to make sure that's available for people in the community. So it's going to cost money to do this. They're going to hire a shomer there. He's not volunteering his time. So where is that money going to come from? So that money's going to, Bezin's going to charge a tax to collect that. So when Bezin, there was an established Bezin in the city, part of the power of the Bezin in the city was to collect money to cover the cost of whatever their services, where they basically ran the city. So there was a city tax. So that it came very easily from the city tax. Now, nowadays, we don't have Bezin charging us with this power to make a city tax. So where are they going to get their money from? So far, we have not discussed where this money is going to come from to hire these workers, etc. They're hiring workers, but there's agents standing by all the entrances to the cities. There's people going out and harvesting and all these different things that they're doing. Bezin's paying somebody for this. Where's the money come from? That we have not discussed where that comes from. And now we're saying this is they were right to linguist the mayot sauce. They can collect the costs from the people. We are representing you. We are making sure it's available for everybody equally. So we're making it for sure it's available for everybody equally. Everybody should cover the cost of making it available. I cannot charge you. Bezin also has an issue, we pointed out, to do business with parishriyas. They can't do business like anybody else. They can't do business. So they're doing business with parishriyas. The answer is they're not doing business. I'm not making any money. We're not making any profit on the payros. I'm charging you for the cost of delivering it. So if I'm a farmer, And my average year, so I bring my items to the market. So my costs are the cost of the seed, of the fertilizer, of the transportation. That's all valid costs. Those are hard costs. We can give you dollars and cents about that. I also worked. I'm a worker. I'm not worse than any other worker. I pay my workers, minimum wage. So I should also get paid at least minimum wage. Okay, so. But I want to make some money on it. Besides just for my work, I don't have to own a farm. I can work down, be a migrant worker down the block. The goal of owning the farm is I'm going to make a profit on it, right? So profit you can't do. That's business. To cover the cost, that clearly you can do. What about the metirka of working in the middle, right? So he's saying over here, if you're going to hire a shomer, you got to pay him. Well, he has no costs. He's been hired as a worker. So you can pay the worker for the costs of acting as a worker. That's not doing business with the parishriyas, that you're covering the costs of making it available. Okay. Now, so we have this idea called Ursu Bezin. It's clearly mentioned in the Tosefta. The Ramban seems to support it. The Rosh mentions it. Others mentions it. We have a question on it that there seem to be processing it in the regular fashion. Is that allowable? The Ramban said we have an explanation why that's allowable. The Chasanish explains why that's allowable. We understand why they're charging some money. Is a halacha like this to Sefta? May you do this? So in page 7, Rebbe Tzina Abba Sha'ul in his Shuvah Sefer He says like this, Vulam, on page 7, you'll see there's a 1, 2, and a 3, so that's the order we're going to look at them. Vulam, Ikra, Tzakana, Yesha, Fakvik. This idea of Echabezin, when he Rama, Mahishman, says, have to zoo, will he be a Behil Chosov? The Rama doesn't mention that there's an Echabezin. So we have a concern that, why doesn't he mention it? It means he's not allowing this idea of Bezin getting involved, limiting, charging. What, there's some issue over here. Boom. First answer in the Ravaz, we don't pass on like this Tosefta. You may not do this.
I thought the point of the Tosefta is that's what they did.
Okay, inami, that means the Tana is saying that that's what they did, that Tana Hala was Mutter. The fact that it's not mentioned in the Mishnah anywhere means in the case that the Rebbeinu HaKadosh was Mechri. We don't pass on like that, that Shita. Possibly it only was once upon a time where they had a bezin which had authority to do that, but nowadays we don't have a type of bezin which has that authority. That's the second Tarsidicus. Okay.
But the Rambam wouldn't include it for that reason, because in all places subsequent to that they didn't have such a bezin.
The Rambam was saying that there was no point in time where there was a bezin which was continuing to do that. Either it had authority, or that they at times the Rambam that they weren't doing it anymore. So the Rambam didn't mention it. You know, even though theoretically it could have been possible to have the authority, that's not clear in the Ravaz. Okay. Volcane near Shafshar Ramban Hevi Tosef Zul number 2 Vachain Hevi Arash Vagam Ravid Hiskira Mikomachim Kivish Ramam Hishvit Tosef Zul because Ravash Humishim Tzirle the Inna Halachas, skip the parentheses. Yesno Lelachach Ross Rambam Commission inspired by Eric Lahalon Perakei Bibirim the Chuva Aleph. We should follow the Rambam, and therefore Valor Roshal and the Hokum is that you should not rely on its best. That's the Paskins. Shkenir's Ladas Ramam im Shomer Pradesa Afayin Yotze Bezin Lekai Mrs. Hefker Kipaperus. So even though Bezin is the one who's taking over the field and limiting the access, etc., that's an Isarov. You have a Chiyuti Mafri your field Mikavu Chol, make it available for anybody to walk in, and you're not doing that. So you didn't do the din of Hefker. Tzarich LaHafker Peirosim LeGarmish are called Roitz Litzul Yavu VeYitul. You have no right to do it even through a Bezin. You have no right to limit access to the field. Now. So that means he wasn't mafkered properly. Now, what's the lach of a case where you weren't mafkered something properly? What's the lach on the papers?
So if Beis Din has control through Otzer Beis Din of collecting from a field, does that mean that no one else, it's no longer hefker for other people to just come?
Well, that's what the Mishnah Yosef was saying. They really theoretically should not be denying access to other people, but they would deny access to people who are taking too much. So there was some element that they're controlling access to the field. So the Rambam is learning that Bezin had no authority to do that.
But
that's not a kiyum of hefker.
Okay, but at the same time, the shluchei based in are collecting, couldn't there just be...
No, it seems that the
people who are collecting...
The way they're understanding the Sefta was that everybody, that Bezin would take over the field. Bezin.
Okay.
Now, so what about me? I'm buying from the Oitzer Bezin, so I go to my post and he says, listen, don't do this. I'm the owner of the field. Don't do this. Okay? That owner of the field didn't listen to the rabbi, and he did it anyway. So the field now is considered a field which is shomer, according to this. It's a field which wasn't hefker. It's a field which is shomer. I want to buy. I want to go to my local esrog dealer and buy the peri. So what's the lach of vizami? So if there is a owner of a field who wasn't mafker the field properly, so that's called shomer. He's protecting the field. He's guarding the field. He's limiting access to the field. What's the lach of the peiros b'di'evit? Right? It may eat the peiros in the case when the peiros are shomer. Now, what's the relevance? I'm not eating an esrog anyway. But the lach is that esrog has to be edible. The Mor says in Sukkah that it says l'katam l'chem. It has to be royal achila. So the psak would be that you can't eat peiros which are shomer. So then the esrog would not be mutter to eat. So then I can't be yotzei mitzvah with it either. So the limitation would not be vis-a-vis the mitzvah, so the limitation would be vis-a-vis the locha of achila. So what's the din of b'di'evit in the case of shomer? Is shomer b'di'evit, is it mutter to eat or osur to eat? So the locha, we pass in the b'di'evit, shomer is mutter, the chazanish pass in shomer is mutter to eat. So the parents are mutter. Okay. Fine. So I don't have a problem with that. But I have a different problem. That what's motivating this fellow to be shomer his fields? Because I'm buying from him. So I am being Messiah, you're the Avera. I'm a Lifnei Ivra situation. If nobody would buy from Ganovim stolen items, they wouldn't be stealing. So the Mora says you can't buy from a Ganov, because if you buy from a Ganov, what you're really doing is you are facilitating Ganevas. Right? And nobody's going to. Right? So, Lakara. I'm helping people do averus. Says, listen, there are poskim which are matter or tzibesin, and he was following those poskim. He's not doing anything wrong. I think he shouldn't be doing it. But so if everybody would listen to me, all of Klai would listen to me about a problem. And Echanami. So then one guy doesn't listen, he's a Baal Aveira, and I'm helping him. But now that there are places which say it's Mutter, so if you want to buy from them, today you can buy from them. So that's what he suggests on that. Okay.
Can you explain it? Sorry, why isn't it?
Because some poskim are matter, some poskim are not matter. So he followed the psak, and it's mutter. So he's not doing anything wrong. He asked the rabbi said it's mutter. The rabbi might be wrong, but that's the rabbi's problem. The rabbi burns again, I'm not him. Okay, all right? That's the good deal. When you ask a rabbi and you get a psak, right? If the rabbi's wrong, so it's not your headache, it's the rabbi's headache. When I was younger, I thought it was a great deal. it was a good, very good arrangement. For some strange reason, I'm older now, I don't have the same attitude. So the next sefer, I'm not going to go through all of it inside. It's a lot of pages. This is from Moshe Strindberg. Moshe Strindberg has a sefer called Shemitah Kehilchasa, and he does raise some questions with the issue of Eitzah Beis Din. One of his main points is, if you look at number 3, that this only applies, the Beis Din has the right to charge money, is for the harvesting and the transportation and distribution. So, listen, really, theoretically, all the Jews should leave Yerushalayim, go out all over fields, all over Eretz Yisrael, and pick fruit. Well, you're too lazy to do that, so you want me to do it for you? Good, so I can charge you money for that. The pears are hefker, they're available, but it's a schlep for you to go up to leave yeshiva and go up to some area out there, which is part of Eretz Yisrael and has the Shemitah still, and get those fruits. So you're asking me to work for you. So Bezin is basically working and representing all the people in the city. No problem. So that makes sense that we have to go out. But that doesn't make sense. Your rights kick in at the moment of picking. You have a right to go to the field and pick. So I'm representing you. Your rights will kick in earlier on in the season that this guy is taking care of the field, he's maintaining the field. I wouldn't be doing that. So who will be doing that? The owner of the field will be doing that. Why is he doing that? So there's a limitation to what you're allowed to do. So Bezin doesn't have any more rights than anybody else at that point. So even if there are certain malachas which are permitted, but what's Bezin charging money for that? They're not representing me that I have a right to charge me money for that. So that's the question which he raises. So theoretically, I want to charge you money for the esrog. So how much does the esrog cost? Well, we sent people out to the fields to pick the esrog properly. They shouldn't damage the trees. Fine. Then we packaged them and we brought them into the city. You know, there's gas and you got to pay the trucking company. And they put it into containers and they put it to the port and they sent it to America. I hear all of that. So that cost, and by the way, they were working. They were there the last eight months, looking over this rug and make sure they don't get damaged. And we're charging you for that. What right do they have to charge me for that? So he tells them they may not charge you for that money, that cost. So even if Bezin wants to do that, fine. But that's Bezin's decision. Bezin better find somewhere in their own pockets money to pay for that. They can't charge you for that.
What?
Now. If the owner of the partis wants to do that because he wants to make sure his trees continue into the next year, so the halacha is when it comes to avodas hakarka, the Gemara says in Moed Katan that anything which is necessary to maintain the tree should not be damaged as mutter to do. Anything which is done to strengthen the tree and make it better is also to do. So the owner of the field may do some avodas hakarka, but that's his. That's his pocket. There's nothing with the best. The Bezdin should not be passing on that cost to me. So that's one issue which he raises when it comes to Bezdin. It wasn't his get only to Esrog, I mean, to get anything. He does point out that there is an advantage of this, because this way, the Bezdin, in the fact that it is making sure that people aren't abusing the rights to take too much from the field and do business with it, and not act because there's a shmias to the payers, etc. So that is a good idea, but to charge you for this extra amount, he feels is improper to do. I'm just going to run through one or two points at the end. So, just to make a little bit of history of the story of Oitzer Bezdin. So, we know Oitzer Bezdin was once upon a time. The time of the Rambam was no longer happening. So, when did it sort of come back into vogue? So, in the year 1889 was the Shemitah year. So by that point in time, there was already a stronger presence of Jews back in Eretz Yisrael, and obviously they were very, very dependent upon the produce. Relying on the produce of the goyim, which the minhag shalayim was to allow. You will know it doesn't have all the limitations of business. It doesn't have kedusha shviyas, and there was plenty. But the Arabs were taking advantage of it. The Arabs were not stupid, right? And they're not to take advantage of Jews in many ways, different ways. So they already were doing it then. So came along one of the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger, and he suggested that, you know, let's make an Oitzer Bezdin. So it didn't take off. It did not take off. And some of the concerns were these issues of, you know, because to do it, they're going to have to charge costs for the owners of the fields were willing to get involved in this, but they wanted to get paid. They didn't want to just, you know, lay out all the money and then Bezdin would take the cost at the end, you know. So they'd rather just leave the whole thing and, you know, hope for the best. But they wanted to maintain it to be available and then not pay them. So they wanted to get paid. So the Benny Rabbanim felt that was a problem. So that idea did not work. Eventually, the Erech HaRedis in 1910, in Tavresh Ayin, did do an Oitzer Bezdin. At first one was just, they just did oranges, only there was oranges. And they started this process, and there was many places which weren't very, very comfortable. But it was the person that was the main person behind it was Reb Chaim Berlin. Reb Chaim Berlin was in Yerushalayim then already, and he felt it was a good idea. Reb Cook supported him on that idea, and the Bezdin of Eidach Haredes did do it with the limited. In 1917 and 1924, already it sort of didn't do it again. In 31 and in 38, already it started again. The Chazon Ish put his weight behind it, and he felt that it was proper to do Oitzer Bezdin, and he drew up the rules of Oitzer Bezdin, etc. And that's where Oitzer Bezdin really started taking off, was once the Chazon Ish came and he started getting involved, he put his weight behind it also. So you had Rav Kook on one side, and you had the Chazon Ish on the other side, both saying it's a good idea. So that put a lot of weight behind it, and that's really where it's taken off. The challenge when you have Oitzer Bezdin is, so practically, Bezdin has to sell it in a way which is nicker than its Peir Shvi'is, because it's full of bona fide Peir Shvi'is. So they have to have they don't sell in the regular stores. That's number one. The Chazon Ish has a letter which he writes that you have to sell it in an amount which is less than the normal costs. Otherwise, it looks like you're selling Peir Shvi'is. You're doing business. So the cost has to be less, and the sale place has to be something which is different. And the Maisa, you didn't work the fields. You had very, very limited what you're allowed to do. So a guy walks into comes to buy produce, and you have imported produce from outside of Eretz Yisrael, which looks very nice, you know. You have the Yibul Nachri, which the Goyim worked the fields, you know, and if you hold the Yibul Nachri as mutter, that the Goyim worked the fields, it's mutter, looks very nice, right? Then you have the Oitzer Bezdin stuff, which looks like it's Oitzer Bezdin stuff, right? So it's not selling. The problem was Bezdin would take a loss. So one article wrote that Tanuva in 2001, they did Oitzer Bezdin. They took $1 million loss on their Oitzer Bezdin. You know, besides the fact that they're dairy farmers, they also have farms. They have produce. They tried to cultivate under Oitzer Bezdin and sell it, and they took $1 million loss. And they're paying their workers, etc., and then not being able to sell it. So, other hands, what Bezdin does is, who do they hire? Well, the best person to hire is the owner of the field. He knows the field the best. So it's a way for people who are keeping shviyas to have a way to have a parnasa during the year. So theoretically, it's a gvaldic idea. You're getting payers available. It has kedusha shviyas, which has all of the mitzvahs of kedusha shviyas. You're giving the work of the owners of the field a way to have what to live on during the year. It's a great idea. You just have to find out a way that people should want to be motivated to do it. So one of the places that's relevant is comes to esrogim. The original way that they would sell esrogim by Eitzer Bezdin was you're not paying for the esrog. You can't do business with a pair of shviyas. You're paying for the cost of delivering it. So all esrogim costs the same.
What? All esrogim
costs the same. Yeah. So that's great, you know, because the cost of delivering them is all the same. So I can get a beautiful, gorgeous esrog, right? The other hand, but the chazan says you have to sell it in a way which was nicker that you're not doing business with it. How's it nicker? You're not paying for the. So you would just get a box. It was a closed box. So that wasn't very motivated to people to get a closed box. And the psak, what they did was that you take it home, open it up. If you take it to the rav, if the rav says it's kosher, the sale is fine. If the rav says it's supposed to, you have a right to get a different one. Okay, not very motivating. So that's where they discussed doing open box, they're doing different types of sugim, making it more enticing. All as a way for Bezdin to cover their costs. There is all the way to make you the people want to get it, and therefore we can cover the cost of making it accessible for you. So we're helping you get your items by making. But meanwhile, we're charging you more. But so that's the person to discuss whether that's mutter or not, and that's really part of the question you have. Which of Bezdin when it comes to Esrogim, how is that going to do it in the proper way? Just finish off the final mashal when they could bring it to America. The Bezdin, the people who are selling it are appointed shluchim of the Bezdin. They're not doing business. They can't do business with it. They're selling it for the Bezdin as an agent. They should not be making a profit. They have a right to get paid for their work. They do a lot of work. They pick it up. They separate them. They put them out. They have a right to get paid like a worker, like anybody else. But they can't make profit from the payers. And therefore, Bezdin will give them a price limit. You should charge these payers not less than X amount because we have to cover our costs, and not more than X, and that, you know, that limit. So, you know, the problem with that thought process just practically was that the numbers that they gave the Soichrim make sense if you live in Lakewood. They said you can't charge more than $110 for an esrog. Because in Lakewood, there's a recommendation for $250, $300 normally. So saying you're only going to charge $110 is very clear that you're not doing business with the esrog, you're just charging for the delivery. In Silver Spring, the esrog sells more than $80 anyway. So exactly where's the limit? You know, so this year we're going to charge you $110. Like, you know, that doesn't make any sense. So how is it nicker that you're selling not esrog yeshivas? That's a problem to address that issue. But the idea, reason why they put a limit was because this issue has very clear that you're selling, that you're charging for the effort and cause of the work, not for the actual payer itself.